Yeah, joy groups tomorrow at 5:30. Joy group, the seniors, 50 and above, tomorrow. Sorry, Margaret. Well, there's a joy in the house today, amen. And you know, the thing about it, I have experienced God's joy supernaturally before. It happens mostly to me when I'm in foreign countries. But this joy just comes over me, and I start laughing. And when I start laughing like that, it is, I get to going. And the last time that happened, I was in a closed country, and I could feel it coming, the joy of the Lord just coming on me. And you know, you can choose to stop it. And I'm sitting down, and Pastor Jesse was with me. We were out in hiding in some foreign country and preaching, and he looked at me and he said, before I go to the pulpit, do you have anything? I said, because the first 2 days God had moved on me to do prophetic things. And I mean, I did 3 hours the first day, 3 hours the second day in the morning, just because God was speaking through me. And so the third day he says, you got anything? I said, nope, I'm good. And he said, okay, I'm going to go. I said, okay, go. And he went up to the pulpit. And as soon as he got behind the pulpit, this laughter just hit me. And I begin laughing, but I'm trying to be quiet, you know. And the pastor that had set up the meeting saw that I was laughing. And he came, and the anointing was so heavy, he pulled me up out of my chair. And when he did, we both fell on the floor because we couldn't stand. The anointing was so strong. And then people were trying to pull me up. And they couldn't get me up, so they just fallen on top of me. So now I got a dog pile on Ron, and I'm just laughing my head off. I mean, because this joy just overtook me. You know, and that joy of the Lord will come to you, but you got to allow it to come to you. You got to say, Lord, I receive it. You know, just let him come to you. You know, and sometimes it comes in different ways. It'll come in a wave of tears, you know. I've sat and I've just cried before the Lord and just wept, and it's just so cleansing and God just healing. And, you know, so when the Holy Spirit comes on, just let him have his way. Amen. Don't resist him. Go with him. Go with him. If you want to dance like Rob, go with it. You want to run, go with it. You know, just don't run into the wall. Oh, hallelujah. Hey, today we are having a picnic, and I really do want to fellowship with you. I want to know you guys. I want to know you more than just, hi, hello, how are you? I want to know your name. You know, I want to know what you do for a living. I want to know your kids. I want to know, you know, I want to know you guys, okay? I don't want to just be, hey, hi, Mike, how you doing? You know, I want it to be deeper than that, you know? I want to know you guys. So please come out to the park. They've already left. They're cooking. We have ribs and hot dogs and hamburgers today. You know, they're cooking up at Brentwood Park, and there's a map in your bulletin. But we need you to come. Amen? Otherwise, I'm going to have to eat too many ribs, so get on out there. Today, you know, I'm going to talk about lying to the Holy Spirit. How many of you have ever told a lie? I remember I was speaking out on a Friday to the food ministry. I said, is there anybody here who's never told a lie? And this guy's hand shot straight up in the air right away. I looked at him, I said, really? And he goes, I just told another one. Because we've all told a lie at some point in our lives, you know? You know, and the thing about it is, you know, as the word says, you know, for all have sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. You know, there's none of us that are perfect. But what we're striving for is to walk in that perfect love of God, that God would be revealed to us, so that we can share the love of Jesus with people, amen? That's what we want to do. I want people to know Jesus. I want people to know, I really would like you to know him the way I know him. And I'm sure Pastor Rob would like you to know him the way he knows him. And Delonda would like you to know him the way that she knows him. Because when you know Jesus and you're walking with him and you're talking with him, it's an incredible life. It's an incredible life. It's just an incredible way to live with Jesus, amen? So the lying to the Holy Spirit, I know that we've all lied, but we don't want to lie to the Spirit. But you know what is intrigues me about this story? Is they told the man the lie, the man of God the lie. And that was lying to the Holy Spirit. I thought, well, I wonder how many people have lied to me. I remember one day, Delon and I were doing marriage counseling. I told this couple, this was years ago, long before I was a senior pastor here. I've been here a long time, 41 years. This couple come in and they're in our home, and I said, usually when I start out premarital counseling, I tell couples this. I said, listen, if you're sleeping together and having sex, stop. Okay, repent. It'll be like it never happened. And then on your wedding day, it'll be a great night for you. It'll be like your first time together. So I tell this couple, if you've been having sex, please stop. If you want me to marry you, please stop, repent, and let's start your marriage off great, you know? And the girl, who had a baby out of wedlock before, no condemnation, but she said this to me. She said, Pastor, I've already had a child out of wedlock. Do you think I'm dumb enough to do it again? Of course we're not having sex. I went, praise God. But you know, when you come to church and the Holy Spirit starts moving and then that conviction rolls through you, well, her fiance is down here at the altar, and I was doing the young adults meeting out in the fellowship, and he's at the altar and he's sobbing. I said, Matt, what's wrong? He said, she lied to you. I said, what? He said, she lied to you. We are having sex. And I said, really? I was mad. Because I didn't ask the question, are you having sex? I just said, if you are, stop. I was so mad. The next meeting we had, Delana's like, Ron, please don't be mad, you know. She's trying to calm me down, you know, because it was an unsolicited lie. So we sat down in our family room there, and I said, you know, brother, I said, the fact that you guys are having sex, that's not the issue. I said, the issue is that you're going to marry a bold-faced liar. And that's going to have ramifications in your marriage if it doesn't get fixed in a hurry. Now, they got married. And they got divorced because of all the lies that were in their marriage. I'm telling you, when you lie and you have to maintain that lie and you have to live that lie, it is not a good place to go, amen? I haven't even read the scripture yet, but don't lie. It's not a good thing, especially to me. I remember somebody seeing me one time and they could tell I was a little upset about something. They said, well, somebody either lied to him or stole something. Because those are two things I have a hard time with. When you lie bold-faced to me or you steal something, that bugs me. So why don't we stand today? Let's read the scripture. Lying to the Holy Spirit. Comes out of Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Let's get into it. But there was a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira who sold some property and brought only part of the money, claiming it was the full price. His wife had agreed to this deception. But Peter said, Ananias, Satan has filled your heart. When you claimed this was the full price, you were lying to the Holy Spirit. The property was yours to sell or not, as you wished. After selling it, it was yours to decide how much to give. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God. As soon as Ananias heard these words, he fell to the floor dead. Everyone was terrified. And the younger men covered him with a sheet and took him out and buried him. And about 3 hours later, his wife came in. Not knowing what had happened, Peter asked her, did you sell your land for such and such a price? Yes, she replied, we did. And Peter said, how could you and your husband even think of doing a thing like this, conspiring together to test the spirit of God's ability to know what is going on? Just outside that door are the young men who buried your husband, and they will carry you out too. Instantly, she fell to the floor dead, and the young men came in, and seeing that she was dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Terror gripped the entire church and all others who heard what had happened. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come into your word, I pray, Lord, for life transformation in each one of us today. That, Father, that we would just wholeheartedly be servants of the Lord God Most High. That, Lord, that we'd let go of the things that so easily ensnare us. And, Father God, that we'd wholly surrender to you today. And, Lord, that we'd leave this place uplifted from being in your presence. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. That's quite a story, isn't it? I haven't seen that happen. You know that the person actually felt dead for telling the lie to God. And listen, I don't wish that upon anybody either. But that's quite a circumstance that happened. I also want to let you know, Pastor Rob didn't announce this, but Wednesday night, you know, we're going to be here in the sanctuary worshiping and praying and a little bit of word time, but Pastor Rob and Terry are going to take the people that want to go to evangelism next door to the market over here to do evangelism Wednesday night. So if you want to go, is there anybody that wants to go? Okay, I got a couple. You got a couple. Let's see. All right, over there too. Over there, a couple more. So you got a team going there, Rob. Now, witnessing can be scary to people. I know when I first started, it was scary. Well, we've been praying for boldness on Sundays. We've been praying for boldness on Wednesdays. We've been praying for boldness on Wednesdays, bravery on Wednesdays. You know, that we as the people of God would be so brave to be bold for Jesus to speak out. I was listening to another preacher this week, and the Lord asked him this question. And I ask you, now, don't raise your hand, okay? Because I'm setting you up, just so you know, I'm setting you up. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm setting you up. But if I gave you $1,000 for every person that you witness to, who would be going, I'm going with Pastor Rob on Wednesday. You know, all these hands would probably go, oh, you figure, you're like, I'll figure it out. $1,000 for every person. I'm there, I'm going. That's what the Lord asked this guy. Would you witness to people if I gave you $1,000 for every person that you touched? And the guy goes, yeah. He goes, man, I fly a lot. I could get them next to the window, you know, and I could just hammer them the whole time that we're on the plane, and they can say, I'm out of here. And he'd be like, go ahead. There's the door. You know, when you got them on a plane and they're trapped, there's not a lot of places they can go. But $1,000, excuse me, Marvin, $1,000, every person you witness to, every person you share the love of Jesus, give you $1,000. Can you imagine? Now, I mean, really think about it. How many of you would really start opening up to thinking, I could use some money. I could step out and I just got to tell people about Jesus? That sounds like not a bad idea. But let me read you the scripture. If you're thinking $1,000 is the motivation you need, let me just share with this scripture. It says, Matthew 6:24. It says, you cannot serve God in riches. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God in mammon. You can't serve God in money. So if money is your motivation to share the love of God with people, who is your God? Go ahead, say it. Who is your God? Money. So if you're thinking, I need $1,000, what happens to the love of God that's in your heart that he's filled you with? That should be the salvation of our souls, should motivate us to say, I'm going to go share the love of Jesus. Amen? It should cause us to want to get up. We need the love of God to lead us and be the reason that we share. We need the power of God in us to move through us so that we can see lives changed. Amen? So Ananias and Sapphira definitely had an issue with money. So today, I want to look at one question, because it's a very important question that Peter asked. He said, how does a believer get his heart filled with Satan? How does a believer get his heart filled with Satan? To the point that God strikes him dead on a moment's notice. See, in the King James Version, it says, a certain man named Ananias. A certain man, it means, in the Hebrew it's translated, a certain honorable man, a husband, Ananias. So he wasn't just a guy, he was an honorable man in the Christian community that Satan filled his heart. We can even look at Judas, the man that walked with Jesus for 3 years, that saw the miracles, that ran the treasury for the Lord, that handled everything, but yet it says that Satan filled his heart. And I'm thinking, man, if the guy that had been with Jesus from the beginning of his ministry could have Satan fill his heart, if this couple who were honorable people in the community could have, in the Christian community, could have their heart filled with the devil, then what about us? What do we need to do? What happened to them? Because that's a terrible thing. I mean, people start falling dead around here. People ain't gonna come. How is it an honorable man allowed his heart to be filled with Satan to the place that he lied to the Holy Spirit? It's just like in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. God didn't take the snake, the serpent, out of the garden. He left Adam and Eve in charge of the garden. Amen. Every day they had that right to use their power and authority over that serpent in the garden. They had the power. They were created in the image of God. They walked in power and authority. So they didn't have to take what the serpent was saying. They could have cast him out. They could have cut his head off. But they didn't. Every day we have to make the decision to do the right thing. Every day. We decide. We have to maintain our lives. Amen. God is there to help us when we're weak. We know that. Amen. He has told us to speak to the mountain. And what will happen when we speak to the mountain? It will move. Listen, Matthew 11:22. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Now listen, how many of you have faith? He doesn't give Delonda more faith than he would you, Deidre. He doesn't give Pastor Rob more faith than he would you, Mike. He doesn't give more faith to one person or another. Okay, we're all given the same measure of faith. Every person is when they come to Jesus, they're given a measure of faith to believe. It's not that one person is better than the next, but what happens is when you have a measure of faith in you, you've got to let it grow now. You've got to start moving your life in the direction that allows your faith to grow, because God gives us all the same measure. He doesn't give one, he doesn't have favorites. I mean, I like to think I'm his favorite, but I'm not really. I am, Donna says. See, I know I was my mom's favorite. My mom had 6 kids, and I told everybody I was her favorite. I told my brothers and sisters I'm her favorite. You know. But God doesn't have favorites. He gives us all that same measure, so we let it grow. So he says, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever, everybody say whoever. You are whoever. Wow. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. We have that power and authority when we've come to Jesus in our lives. That we can, you say, well, I struggle with this. Stop struggling. Speak to it and tell it to go. You have power and authority in you. When I came to the Lord and I had all these addictions, when I came to God and he delivered me on Sunday, and Monday I never did them again. It's just be removed, man, and they were gone, and I've never done them again. That's what God does. Amen. You know, I know that, you know, like in Celebrate Life, you know, when you come in, you know, we have a Celebrate Recovery program. It's called Celebrate Life, and you got to admit where you're at. You know, you come in, you say, hey, I've been an alcoholic. You know, but once I got set free from alcohol, once I got set free from those addictive things that I was in, that's not me no more. I'm not an alcoholic. Trust me, I'm not an alcoholic. I've been made free, amen? Once I've come to the cross and I gave it to Jesus and he pulled that right out of me that day, woo! A little high on the reverb, I think, you know? But then he says, verse 24, he says, therefore I say to you, and I say this to you, whatever, everybody say whatever. Remember, whosoever says whatsoever, the mountain will be removed. So he says, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. You don't have to take what the devil's throwing at you. You don't have to live what he's throwing at you. We can stand up to him. And today I want to just throw out a few things that I believe Ananias and Sapphira probably were dealing with, that maybe we deal with, so we can overcome. Get on the other side. That we can speak to that mountain today and tell it to be gone. And number one, wanting to look good to others. You know, when our goal in giving is to gain power or to look good to others, we've missed the mark. When you give for notoriety, you miss the mark. You got your reward, that's it. You know, it says, don't let the left hand know what the right hand's doing, you know? We're not supposed to be bragging about it. I'll share with you things in my life because I want to encourage you about giving. You know, because I know that when we give to the Lord, he does pay you back. Listen, you say, I don't give to get. I give because I love Jesus, but he's so great. Oh, wow, he is so great. Because when I give to the Lord, he opens up the windows of heaven to us. That's his promise. He says, I'm going to give it back. He says, whatever a man sows, he what? So if I plant a kernel of corn, what am I going to expect? Corn stalk. And on that corn stalk, let's say there's two ears. That'd probably be about 600 seeds on those two ears. So I take them 600 seeds and I plant them. Then I've got 1,200. And 1,200 times 300 is, like my mind's, you know, 360,000 seeds. You know, when you plant a seed, it brings a harvest. And when you sow a seed in the kingdom of God, you can expect a harvest. Because God's promise. That's not my promise, that's God's promise. Now, like I said, I give because I love God. And I give because my wife just loves to give. And she gives away everything. I just love it. It's pretty awesome what she does. And she says, Ron, you know, you just keep giving. Keep giving. When I was younger, she's like, you know, our financial problems are due to you. I'm like, what do you mean? How's it my fault? She said, you don't tithe regularly. I'm like, okay, I'm going to learn. I was in one country, and when I go to this country, I pay for everything. You know, or you guys give me money to go to pay for everything. So I do these pastor's conferences, and every time I do a pastor's meeting, we feed them lunch. We give them chicken and rice or something, and they have it in these little boxes and everything. And they like me to hand out the boxes. And this is what he told me. You hand out the boxes, it looks good in the pictures. I'm like, it looks good to who? He says, well, when you're trying to raise money at home, it'll look good to the people that you're feeding the people. I said, just turn off the camera. Who cares? I want to feed the people, but I don't want to do it for publicity. When we were in the jungles of India, I'm telling you, I was in places I probably shouldn't have been, but I was there, and I'm in India, and you know, we go to this one place, and it was feeding time for the kids of the community because they made this tub about this big and filled with rice, and the government gives them protein. So they dump protein in with the rice that they cook. And Jerry Thronson from Bethel and Riverside was with me. And they're like, you know, well, we want you guys to feed the kids. And it's like, well, I want to feed the kids, you know. I don't have one picture of me feeding the kids. I have pictures of me in there with the kids, but I was down there and I'm shoving food. But it can't be about looking good to people. If you want to know what I do on the mission field, you just need to come. Then you'll find out. And it's incredible. But I don't want to have to look good to people for them to know that I'm sent of the Lord to go and do these things. I want to just do them, amen? I don't want to care if I look good to others. I want to promote Jesus, amen? He's the one that saves. He's the one that heals. He's the one that delivers. And doing things with money to look good is, number two, a pride issue. It began in the Garden of Eden when they thought they could get away with something God told them not to do. They wanted to be what? Equal with God. And here you got Ananias and Sapphira. They want to give money, like, you know, because there's a lot of people at that time that were selling properties and bringing all the money and laying it at the apostles' feet so that, you know, it says nobody went without, and they wanted to just bless the people. You know, it's the same thing here on Fridays. We want to bless the people of our community, of this church. We have a great food bank on Fridays. I was walking, man, you should see the picture I had on, no, you don't have to look at my phone, but on Friday, they had like 7 bags of groceries for every family on Friday. I mean, some of it looked so good, I wanted to take it upstairs and eat it. I mean, that's how, and then today, like, you can go to room 4 after service and take what you need. We have groceries out there. We want to be a blessing, amen? But they wanted to be equal with God. And you got to remember, this same pride was what Satan had. He wanted to exalt himself to be equal or above God. He thought he could. And that's what got him to be thrown out of heaven, is that pride that's inside of him. It's believing the lie of the devil to think that we're going to exalt ourselves high enough that we're going to be like God. See, there's no way. We have to do away with our pride. He says, humble ourselves before the Lord, amen? You know, we sing that song, and it said, you know, bend our knees. You know, I shouldn't turn around and say, okay, everybody bow down. It should be, we bend our knees, we humble ourselves before God. You say, well, I got bad knees. So just sit on the stage. I don't care. But just, you know, what you're singing, do. We raise our hands or whatever. You know, raise your hands. Step out. You know, it says run, take a run if you need to run. Dance a little. It's okay. But don't let pride keep you from worshiping. Don't let pride keep you from pressing into God. Let our pride just go to the ground. Pastor Rob gets up here. And he gets crazy for Jesus, because he just loves Jesus, and that's what we need to do. We just need to let go and let our pride be gone in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's pride hinders us. Pride leads us to number 3, which is being deceived. We know the devil's working overtime to deceive as many people as possible, because listen, the devil knows this thing's winding up. The devil knows his time is due, that Jesus is coming back, and that he's going to be thrown into the pit. And you know, how many of you know misery loves company? The devil is miserable, and he wants to deceive as many people as he can. Isaiah 59:19, it says this. It says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun? When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. We have to know as believers that God's standard for us has a standard for us, so that we don't have to give in to the enemy. That whatever the enemy's throwing out at you, you don't have to give in to it. Just pray for God's standard in your life. I had one brother move the comma one day. I really liked it, because it says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, comma, and he moved the comma over. He said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. You know, I don't know who put that comma in there, but I like it moved a little to the left. like a flood, God will raise up a standard against it. So when the enemy is coming against you to deceive you, God will always give you a way out. Amen? God will always make a way for you. You know, in Acts 5:4, I'm going to read it to you in the King James. It says, "While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." He says, was it not in thine own power? And that word power there is one of the power words of God in there, exousia in the Greek, which is the right to use the dunamis power. It's the power of God. And it's that same power that Jesus was given by the God the Father over the heavens and the earth. He says, I give you authority over all the heavens and the earth in Matthew 28:18. And it's that same power. And what Peter is saying to him, you have the power of God in you to find a way out of this temptation, and you didn't use it. How come? See, you have the power of God in you to get you out of temptations, so use it. Amen? Use it. And he's asking Ananias, you were given the power over this money. You have the power. You have the control. You have the Spirit of God inside of you to know what is good and what is right and what is lovely to God. But yet you still chose to do the wrong thing. How come? Why didn't you use that power of God that's inside of you to get you past what was happening in your life, to get you past this thing that had come up? Why didn't you go to God with it? When you have the Holy Spirit, you will always have a way out of temptation. God will always provide a way to get you out of whatever the enemy's throwing at you. 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. Listen, you do not get tempted any worse than anybody else. You do not get tempted any worse than what Jesus was tempted. Yeah, he never sinned. He overcame. He overcame so that who could overcome? Us. So we can overcome the temptations that's being thrown at us. He says, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation, you will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So God will always provide a way of escape. It's just that we have to I have to be Christ-centered all the time. I got to be thinking about God all the time, because when I stop thinking about God, then I'm not thinking about a way out. I'm thinking about my flesh. I'm thinking about what feeds me. You know, we just have to learn not to use the power, just use the power of God to walk in power and authority. We have to use the power of God to walk in. Amen. Power and authority all the time. We've got to know that when we have Christ, we have the Spirit, we have this power and authority in us all the time to overcome the temptations that the devil's throwing at you. You can overcome, amen? You know, we got to let the Spirit of God rule instead of our flesh. And that's the issue. Just let the Spirit of God rule and not your flesh. You know, but the issue is how much do we let the Spirit of God rule and how much do we let our flesh rule? That becomes the issue. And we've got to learn to put our flesh down when we know that it's not God. I mean, it cost them their life. When you look at Adam and Eve, they didn't physically die, but they spiritually died. They brought a curse on all of mankind because of what they did. Now, Jesus didn't give in to it, and so we have life now in the Spirit. Ananias and Sapphira, they gave in to it, and they physically, spiritually died that day. So don't let our flesh rule. Amen? Because if we do, it will lead us to number 4, entertain the things of the enemy. You know, how many of you get bad thoughts? Are the rest of you lying right now? How How many of you get bad thoughts? Huh? Come on, it's okay. We all get bad thoughts. What is what we do with them when you start entertaining them? Now, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, it says this. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, and then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success." So the book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart from my mouth. Amen. It's always there. It gives us a few things. Number one, speak the word over your life. Speak the word of God over your life. Number two, hear the word of God. Number three, meditate on what you hear, the word of God. And then number four, do the word. Speak the word, hear the word, meditate on the word, and do the word. Because once you do those things, you'll make your way prosperous and successful. So I believe that it can work the same way in death. That when we start entertaining the thoughts of the enemy and we start speaking and talking about them and planning with them, then it brings about death to us. And it does happen. Between Ananias and Sapphira, somebody had to bring it up. They had to discuss it, strategize for it to be pulled off so that they would look good. Somebody had to entertain the thoughts of the enemy. Somebody had to meditate on them. And somebody had to think it through to make a success. Nobody knew their plan except God. They discounted the power of God. They discounted the power of God in themselves to overcome the enemy. And they discounted the power of God in the apostle to know that they were lying. When we entertain the enemy, number five, we start agreeing with him. The power of agreement. Matthew 18:19, again I say to you, that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they have that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father. What are you in agreement with? When I go to the doctor, man, I don't like to come into agreement with him, that's for sure. I don't like to agree with anything he says. I like to just say, okay, I'm going to go pray. Now I know how to pray. You know, because, you know, when you come into agreement with the doctor, and the doctor's not the enemy, but the enemy is sickness. The enemy will put sickness on you. The enemy will try to get you down, get you to come into agreement with him. The enemy gets us to come into agreement when we start saying, I can't do this. I'll never. You know, that's how the enemy works in us. He tries to get us to agree with him. He tries to get us to entertain those thoughts so we start agreeing with him. And we know that if we agree with God, that's what God's going to do. But when you come into agreement with the enemy, God's saying, okay, we got to stop agreeing with the devil, amen, and start agreeing with the word of God. Start agreeing with God, what God has said about you. God never called you an addict. God never called you sick. God called you healed, amen. He says, by your stripes, you're what? You are healed. You are healed. So profess, I'm healed. Amen? You know, because when I look back at the garden, as I said, what Adam and Eve did brought a spiritual death. You know, the first thing Adam did was he blamed God and the woman. God said, did you eat? And he goes, it was the woman you gave me. And you know what? I have done so much marriage counseling since I've been involved in ministry. And one of the first things that everybody wants to do is blame the other person. So I like to sit people down and I like to say, listen, tell me what's wrong with your marriage without telling me about your mate. You know, people almost have nothing to say. It's very difficult. Because we always want to blame. And listen, that happened in the garden. It's part of the curse. It's not part of living. Blaming somebody else for your problems is not living. It's just a curse. you've been bought with a price. Jesus became a curse so you don't have to. Man, you don't have to live the curse. You don't have to blame other people for what's going on in your life. All you've got to do is just surrender to Jesus. You look at Ananias and Sapphira. Man, they felt dead that day. They felt dead. They lied to Peter and the Holy Spirit and bam, on the ground. And they were in agreement with this lie. Remember I told you last month, Pastor Rob and I were in a meeting with a marriage and family counselor. And I said, what's the number one thing to have a good marriage? And he said, the power of agreement. And I guess when I look at this, if you want to have a bad marriage, the power of agreement will work good there too. Whatever you two agree on, it shall be done. DeLon and I are choosing to have a great marriage. Amen? So that's what we've agreed upon. Hallelujah. That's the only thing we're shooting after. Do we have hiccups? Do we ever fight? Yeah. We're not perfect, but we're getting there. Amen? Fights are getting fewer and far between in our lives, and we're just growing in Jesus more and more in love than I was. Well, you know what? A week from tomorrow is the day I met Nalanda. See, I'm going to be 38 years ago. Yeah, a week from Monday, 38 years ago is the day I met Nalanda. And we've been together, and it's just incredible. I love her more now than I ever have because we're in agreement. We're in agreement with each other and with God. Amen? And that's what we're going for. And we need to agree with God over our lives. We need to get out of agreement. We need to stop entertaining what the enemy's doing. We need to put aside our pride, amen? And we need to stop trying to look good to others, and we need to get in and go with God. We need to agree with God that we are forgiven, amen? You are forgiven. The things that you did yesterday, you are forgiven today for, amen? You are forgiven for those things. When you come to Jesus and you say, Jesus, I love you, I give you my life, forgive me. You know, when in worship, I don't know who I'm talking about right now, but I saw, it was like a flash of lightning, but it was a list of somebody's junk. I saw it like a whiteboard. And then I saw it just erased. I'm like, wow, like a flash of lightning. That whole board erased. I don't know who you are here today, but if during worship you just started really loving God and letting go of things, your board got erased today. Amen? And so God doesn't remember it anymore because you're forgiven. You're forgiven, so he doesn't remember. You could come to him and you can say, God, remember what happened to me? And he's like, no, we erased that part. You erased it, okay? You're forgiven. You're free. We're singing free. You, Pastor Robbie, get up and do the shuffle, man. Come on. We're free. That's the Pastor Rob shuffle. Because he's free, amen? You can do the shuffle, whatever you want in church. You're free. You're not in bondage anymore, amen? Come into agreement. Everybody say, I'm free. And then it declares, the Word of God declares this. It says, you're the light of the world. You may be the only Jesus that this world out here ever sees. You are the light. You know, when it says you're the light on the hill and you go to Jerusalem, I had a pastor said, he goes, I was never so moved as when they talked about the light on the hill. Because where we were standing, where he preached his sermon, and I looked up, and there was a city on a hill, and that light shone brightly up there. He goes, it touched my heart so deep. Jesus used what was around him. You are the light of the world. You are to be bright and shiny, amen? You're to let your light shine before men. You're to let the love of God pour out through you. You're to touch people's lives with Jesus. And you can go on Wednesday with Pastor Rob, minus the $1,000 a person. We're salt. I'm thinking about, you know, the guys are up there cooking right now, and they're you know, putting that salt and that pepper and that seasoning on there, them ribs are going to taste so good. Those guys are such good cooks. The hamburgers, oh, I'm drooling right now. The hamburgers will be so good. I'm going to finish up real soon. Everything will just be so good. Honey Baked Ham is making the baked beans and then the side salads. So all you got to do is bring a drink of water and a seat, and you're going to just have a feast. Where was I? Salt. Salt, salt brings flavor, amen? It adds a lot of flavor to things. When you're eating corn on the cob and you drop a little salt down there, man, or some french fries and a little salt. Not that I eat those, but I don't eat them, honey, really. But salt brings flavor. You're to bring flavor to this world. I mean, when your light is shining, you're to go and you're to be flavorful to people. People should know, wow, that lady is so nice. Amen. That's how it should be. They should see, oh, man, I met this guy Mark at church today. He's such a nice guy. He just adds flavor to my life. I met this greeter guy. He's like 6'4" tall. And he is just, he's got a great smile. He's nice. He greets you really well, you know. He just puts salt. See, but when we get out there, that's when it matters. That I'm salt out in the world. That when I'm at the gas station, when I'm at the grocery store, when I'm at my restaurant. Listen, I've said this before, and I'm telling you the truth. You can really find out what a person's character is like by just taking them to a bad restaurant. Go to a bad restaurant, their character will come out. You go, oh, okay. All right, now I know what we can work on. Because, you know, when you go to a bad restaurant, you know, you go to a restaurant, you expect good service and stuff, you know, and, you know, I get bad service, I still leave a tip. Because I'm going to be the light, and I'm going to be the salt. And I'm going to leave a good flavor in their mouth when I come in. Amen? And let's agree with God that we're healed. Let's agree with Him that we're healed. Because that's what He said about you're healed. Let's agree with Him. Everybody say, I'm healed. I'm healed. Now I'm watching you. Let's try it one more time. Everybody say, I'm healed. I'm healed. All right. Amen. You're healed. You're healed. It's something that you are. You're healed. I'm healed. Amen. And listen, Marvin, you're a king. You're a king. God declares you a king. Amen. You're not some shyster. You're a king. You're a king. You're a king. You're a queen. You're a queen. You're a king. You're a king. You're a queen. You're a queen. You're a queen. You're a king.
Hallelujah.
And not a wrong king. You're your king. You're His king. Amen. You're His king. You're a king. But Marvin, you're also a priest. You got that collar up there. Oh, we need to put a strip of white in there and you'll be good. You're a priest. You're a priest to your wife. I'm a priest to my wife. You're a priest. 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 You know what? You are too. And you are too. And you are too. And you are too. And you are too. He has made us kings and priests. Okay, we got to stop thinking. We got to stop thinking so simple-minded about who we are. We are kings and priests of the Most High God. We're not just some shyster that's just floating through this world. We are children. Everybody say children of God. You are children of God, amen? How? He loves you and you're His child. See, when you start thinking like that, see, because, man, if you're my kid, you're going to be blessed. Amen? My daughter calls me and says, oh, Dad, I sure, you know, we're just struggling over here. I don't have to say anything. Just go to the bank and I put money in it. All right, don't struggle anymore today, okay? What'd you do? I said, well, I put money in your account. Why'd you do that? Well, because my kids shouldn't be struggling. Come on. That's how God is for you, amen? God doesn't want to see you just trudging through this life under this weight of work, under this weight of financial junk. God wants you to thrive and be alive, amen? God's intention is that you thrive in this life, that you not just be going through life all ho-hum, but that you're dancing as Pastor Rob, you know. Come on, God wants you to live a little, amen? That's his intent. We're kings and priests. Listen, we're more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. He overcame so that we can overcome. We're more than conquerors. You cannot be conquered by the devil. Unless you're like Ananias and Sapphira and you start entertaining those devilish thoughts. See, we're made to overcome by God. He doesn't expect us to stay the way he found us. You know, when we go fishing and I catch a fish, we don't just take that whole fish and throw it in the frying pan and then eat it. Delanda, if I catch fish and I bring home to her, she cleans it. She, you know, when we go trout fishing, and you know, sometimes you get that little black line, you know, in the inside, you know, that bloodline. Delanda, man, she'll be there with a knife. She cuts off every fin, their head, their tail, their everything, so that it doesn't even look like it was a fish ever, you know? She cleans that fish so good. It's so awesome. See, but you can't clean a fish until you catch it. And when you're caught up with God, then he can clean you up. But you don't get cleaned up to be caught. You get caught, and he cleans you. You go out into the world, and you can't expect people to be like you out in the world because they haven't been caught yet. It's when you get caught that you get clean. You know, I didn't get clean until I got caught. I tried to quit a lot of my bad habits on my own, and it's just like every time something bad would happen, right back up in those habits, I'd go. But when I met Jesus, I just run to him with my issues. We're alive in Christ. Come into agreement with that. I'm alive in Jesus. I'm not dead in Christ. I'm alive in Christ. Amen? Live. Start living your life. And I'm not talking about going out and having a party, but just start living your life like you're alive. Put a smile on your face. You know, he talks about put some oil on your face. Look good, you know. That's what Eric, you know, you should just have this great big smile on your face. You're in high school, man. You got it made. You got great parents here that love you. You got a great sister and a brother and a brother-in-law. Man, you got it made. You do. You're like, eh. Oh, to be young again, huh? I never want to go back. Hallelujah. I'm happy right now. But, you know, you have the whole world in front of you. And as you go with God, God will direct your footsteps. He says, he will direct your footsteps. So when you think about where you go, how you doing, by the way? You're just hanging in there today, huh? Yeah, month, 3 weeks? The 23rd of October? This last month. Here, let's just give me your hand. Let's pray for it. Father, we just come before you today, and we thank you, Lord, that your hand is upon Stephanie and Junior, Father God. I thank you for this baby that's about to come forth, Father God. I pray this last month, Father, will not be miserable, Father, but she'd find peace and rest in this day, that, Lord, that your joy would strengthen her. We thank you that you protected her this week, God. And, Lord, I just pray that covering over her this last month, Father, that you just be with her, and, Lord, let your joy strengthen her and cover her and keep her, God. And Lord, just that all around her would just be a help and a joy to her. We thank you, Father God, for this new life coming into the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yeah. She fell down this week, landed on her belly. So we just want to keep her covered. That you don't fall no more, too. No more Starbucks. But we're to be alive in Christ. I mean, when you think about it, she's having a baby. That is new life coming into this world. When we come into the kingdom of God, we are like a newborn baby. We are like new life. And God wants us to walk
in that new life. Amen? And he wants us to come into agreement with him that we're the head and not the tail. He says that in Deuteronomy. You're the head, you're not the tail. Start thinking that way. I'm the head, I'm not the tail. I'm not last on the totem pole. I'm at the top. Amen? Start thinking more of who you are in Christ than your natural element. We label our natural really well. We speak it out really well. We speak our feelings really well. We get caught up in our feelings really well. And God wants us to start coming to an agreement with his word. If you want to be an Ananias and Sapphira, just don't agree with God. But I guarantee you, you'll end up spiritually dead. But if you want to live, come into agreement with what God says about you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are the bride of Christ. You are loved. You are loved. Look at your neighbor and say, you are loved. You are loved. He says in Deuteronomy, he says, live above the line only. You know, if you can imagine a line right here, and above the line is just being in agreement with God, and below the line is agreeing with the devil. A lot of people, if this was the line right here, a lot of people are doing this. Halfway below the line, halfway above the line. Agree with God when it's convenient, agree with the devil when it's convenient. We got to get above. I'm not going to climb up on this table, but we got to get above only, amen? Live above only. That's his intention for you, to live above the line. You are marvelous. Amen. You're a child of God. How can you not be marvelous? You say, well, I don't feel marvelous. Remember, it's not based on how you feel. We got to get out of that mode of what I feel. Get into the mode of what Jesus says. You say, well, I don't know what he says. Well, here, get here. Just open it up. He says, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. That's what it says right there. You can read the Bible like that. Just, Lord, what do you want me to read? Well, get into it, amen. I'm going to pray. Pray to you, Father. Lord, your word is so alive to us. Lord, we see here what a lying to the Holy Spirit can do to people. We see what coming to agreement with the devil will do. We see what deception, Lord, and we see what pride does. God, I pray today that, Lord, we would truly close those doors in our lives. That, Lord, that we not try to look good to the people and parade our pride around and in the meantime being deceived, God, but Lord, that we would close those doors. Lord, that we'd not entertain the thoughts of the devil, and Lord, we'd not come into agreement with his thoughts. But Father, we'd entertain your word. We'd entertain your way of doing things, your way of being right. We'd live for Jesus. Lord, that you'd give us a new strength today, that Lord, old things are passing away and there's a newness coming to each one of us today. Father, that you give us a new strength. And maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Ron, I have not been in agreement with God the way I should be, and I need to get into agreement with God today, whether it's by giving your life to him for the first time or it's just letting go of some things. Just raise your hand because I want to pray for you. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God, amen. Amen. God sees all them hands. Father, you see all these hands right now. So I pray, Lord, for just a supernatural peace to come right now, God. The peace to know that you love us and you haven't given up on us. The peace to know that, God, you're in control and we can trust you with the issues of life. Lord, that we stop today entertaining these thoughts the enemy's trying to put on us. Lord, that we're not going to be deceived anymore by this. Lord, we're not going to come into agreement with the devil anymore. But Lord, we're going to start declaring who we are in Christ. We're going to start declaring Jesus over our lives. So Father, we come into agreement with you today. You are the glory and the lifter of our head. You are the forgiver of our sins. You are the healer of disease. So Lord, I pray right now that every person that needs a physical touch be healed right now in Jesus' name. If you need healing, just lift up your hands right now and just receive it. Just receive it in the name of Jesus. I pray it down. I pray it into your life today. I pray it into your physical body, that the healing power of God just come into you right now. Let it just touch your body and cause all sickness and disease to flee away from you. Father, I praise you and I thank you right now that you're our healer. Let it flow, let it flow, let it flow. Let every back be made whole, Father God. Lord, every shoulder bone be made whole in Jesus' name. Father, that you would just touch blood. Let the blood be made right now in Jesus' name. The pressure, Lord, be just right. Lord, the sugar's just right now in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, that battle would stop because you're in control. Lord, let it just come right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, let the healer just be made manifest in us, Father. Oh, just touch today, Father. Lord, we love you, and we thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, now as we go, I pray a covering of blessing over each person. I pray protection over them, Lord, that they go healed in Jesus' name. That, Lord, that your joy would be our strength this week. And that, Lord, that you would just move in each one of us. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand today, huh? Thank you, Jesus.